This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story. Chapter 2. Darkness eased onto the shadowed landscape. The cloudless sky dimmed to a deep blue that matched his bruise, and then faded to black. A sliver moon was useless, and the stars, although spectacular in number and beauty, did nothing to light the way. A dry branch was promoted from driftwood to makeshift crutch. For the most part, the path was a godsend, but now meandered over a pile of house-sized rocks, so that he had to climb up and over and around an obstacle course that would have been difficult enough in the daylight with two good feet. After what seemed like hours, the ground eased and the boy gentled himself onto a flat rock that ramped into the sea. Relieved of the pressure on his ankle, exhaustion suddenly closed him down as though his muscles had just been liquefied. Sleep dragged his head to the stone pillow. Eyelids closed by themselves, and the tiny figure curled his knees to his chin and hugged his lonely body to oblivion. The noise probably saved his life. It came from close by, a low animal grunt that even to the most unimaginative sounded like the throaty growl of a werewolf. He leapt to his feet, his ankle forgotten. The night bound him like a shroud of black ice. Seawater slapped on rock and spat salt rain into the air, plastering the boy's clothes to his skin. He held his breath and listened. The wind now blew onshore and steady. It, and the noisy sea at his back, made it difficult to hear anything, but a primal fear forced him to stand his ground until he located the threat. And at last he did. Somewhere ahead, on the hill, the grumbling bark rose above the wind and the sea and wormed through his pores to chill his blood. He gasped, drew a freezing breath of air, and turned to face the sound. Indistinct shapes oozed through the darkness. The black mass of the hill was clear, and within its bulk, isolated trees and rocks gave shape to the void they shared. Somewhere out there, an animal watched him, and he couldn't see it. Eyes fixed forward, he bent and grappled for the walking stick that now became a weapon. Risking a downward glance to guide his hand, in that swift movement, he thought he saw something on the hill. Hefting the stick, he watched and listened, but he could not pick out the figure he thought he'd seen. He tried looking away again and was surprised to find that in doing so, the vague notion of the animal appeared in the corner of his eye, a dim blot on the landscape that suddenly didn't look so threatening. There was more than one of them, and the boy realized that what he thought was stalking him was in fact a massive but probably harmless deer. The small herd stood motionless, watching him, and he decided to take a chance. With unexpected fury, he burst from his statue-like pose, swung the stick over his head, and screamed as loud and threatening a sound as he could force from his exhausted lungs. The herd bolted, the threat all in his head. With this realization, once adrenaline stopped pumping through his blood, the shaking started. Legs buckled and he tumbled back to his unsuitable bed. Lying there, he wrestled with his certainty that if he stayed where he was, he would die before the night was over. Wet and exposed to the wind, sea spray hosed him in a fine mist more deadly than the apparent danger that had woken him. His body wanted to stay, but his mind knew that it would be forever. Teeth chattering like a wound-up toy, he almost cried at the unfairness of it all. Why couldn't he just lie and sleep? It would be so easy. So final. Miraculously, the cold seemed to disappear and a warm haze smothered his thinking. On the hill, the deer barked another warning and the boy dragged himself back to discomfort. He had to get out of the wind. Climbing to his knees, he stumbled and crawled towards the large rocks he crossed earlier, hoping they would keep the worst of the wind from his sopping clothes. He was in the hole before he knew it existed. 10-ton bricks coddled 100 of these mini-caves, a haven for animals and now the boy. The rock drew him in, and the wind became background noise and nothing more. The false heat was gone too, and the shaking took on an almost comical quality that a performer would have called overacting. But this was no performance. Out of the wind, he'd taken away the biggest danger, but it was already too late. He was so cold that unless he could warm up, he would have been as well laying outside and letting the false heat take him. Exposure and death stalked him to the hole. And this stench! Something smelled terrible, and when his hand fell on a mess of bone and flesh, he knew by the touch of clotted wool that it was the remains of a dead sheep. Without realizing it, the boy had already given in to the forces shutting him down. He lay with a stone the size of a hedgehog pressed into the small of his back, but somewhere beyond the weakness of his body, another part of him fought on. This being, this entity, the spirit hiding inside the boy's head, lifted his arm and grappled for the grisly remains at his side, tugged a corner of skin that had been ripped by scavenging teeth, and pulled. The carcass split, and the coat and ribcage slid over him so that the wool was close to his skin, and the bone stuck upwards as though he'd just turned himself inside out. Like this, and still shaking uncontrollably, he slept. DreamWorks.com.